herzlich willkommen bei Offenbar. Wir haben heute einen ganz besonderen Gast. Ich begrüße bei uns Peter Williams. Dr. Peter Williams, er ist der Direktor des Tyndall Houses in Cambridge, England. Dr. Williams, schön, dass Sie bei uns sind. Sie sind ein sehr renommierter Theologe und doch denke ich, dass Sie im deutschsprachigen Raum vielleicht noch nicht ganz so bekannt sind. Würden Sie sich kurz ein bisschen vorstellen?
Sure. So my name's Peter Williams. I'm aged 50, born in 1970, and I grew up in a Christian family, the youngest of three brothers. And from about the age of 12, I had the opportunity of learning Latin and Greek at 14. And I got interested in biblical languages and went to Cambridge University to study Hebrew and Aramaic, as well as Greek and Latin. And I stayed on and did a master's and PhD at Cambridge, working on the Syriac translation of the Old Testament for my PhD. And really since then, for the last 32 years since arriving at university, I've been involved in university contexts and research contexts, studying the Bible and its languages and its text. I'm married to Catherine. I've got two children who are, well, one's an adult, one's nearly an adult. And I have the privilege of leading an institution called Tyndale House in Cambridge, England, where we have one of the finest libraries in the world of the Bible, and people come and study here because we're a research institute. We don't give out degrees. We simply focus on promoting research.
Was machen Sie genau als Direktor des Tyndale Houses und was sind die Ziele, die das Tyndale Haus verfolgt?
So when you lead an institution, many different tasks come under that. You have to set the direction for the institution alongside other leaders and the board. You have to recruit the staff, raise the funds, and also lead the way. So I think you lead that by your own research and also by speaking and mentoring, encouraging others. So I'm trying to do a range of things which will move forward our aim of promoting very serious Bible research, which is in aid of the church.
Peter, neben deiner Rolle als Direktor des Tyndale Houses tust du noch viele andere Dinge. Du warst Mitglied des Übersetzungskomitees der English Standard Version, dieser sehr renommierten Ausgabe der englischen Bibel. Du bist Vorsitzender des International Greek New Testament Projekts. Du unterrichtest an der Cambridge University. Was tust du sonst noch?
Well, I mean, Tyndale House is quite wide ranging in what it does, but I do get involved in speaking in places. So I often speak across various countries in Europe and also in the USA, and often on online, I suppose.
Peter, bist du auch in einer lokalen Kirchengemeinde involviert?
Yes, so I'm very involved in our church. I'm sometimes involved in the music, but also leading a house group, and that is a great privilege.
Peter, du hast einen Vortrag gehalten für uns zu der Frage, ob die Evangelien glaubwürdig sind. Und dazu hast du auch ein Buch geschrieben, das inzwischen auch in deutscher Übersetzung erschienen ist. Glaubwürdig? Sind die Evangelien wirklich glaubwürdig? Peter, warum diese Frage? War das eine Frage, mit der du selber ganz persönlich gerungen hast? Oder warum greifst du diese Frage auf?
I have struggled with the question of can we trust the Bible as a whole? And I struggled with that in my early 20s in a deep way. The Gospels seemed to me to be, wasn't something I struggled with as much in the same way. There were bits here and there in the Gospels. But I've always felt that there has not been a very short book from which is academically sound, giving the case positively for the reliability of the Gospels. There are other books. They tend to get longer. And the model of the book I had in mind was a very old book by F.F. Bruce called The New Testament Documents, Are They Reliable? I felt that there was a need for a short book that was not too technical, but which you could give to someone who is first inquiring about this subject. So I tried not to presuppose any knowledge, but yet to take people forward enough. So it's a serious book, but it's a short book.
Du hast das Buch geschrieben für Menschen, die am Anfang ihres Glaubenslebens stehen, um ihnen ein festes Fundament für ihren Glauben zu geben. Aber ist dieses Buch auch hilfreich für Menschen, die vielleicht anders geprägt sind, die vielleicht eher etwas kritischer sind hinsichtlich der Frage nach der Glaubwürdigkeit der Evangelien? Wie kann es solchen Menschen helfen? Kann es solchen Menschen helfen?
I should hope so. So I think that sometimes your target audience is different from your actual audience. So when I wrote that book, I was thinking of engineers, people who like facts and things that work, and thinking of people who don't aren't explicitly Christians, but 90% of the people who read it probably will be Christians. And it's I tried to write it in such a way that it will help people who are Christians, whether they've been Christians for quite a while or they're new Christians. So it is trying to do all of that because it's giving references to primary sources of evidence that might be hard to get. So every time I mention a manuscript, I mention which library or museum it's in and what its call number is so that someone could go to that library and request it. So it's that sort of level of information and specificity, which often we don't have in our books. We talk vaguely in terms of manuscripts. We don't say, well, there's a manuscript and it's in Paris or something like that. So this is where I tried to be very specific about these things.
Was sind die am häufigsten vorgebrachten Kritikpunkte, Vorurteile, Gegenargumente gegen die Lehre von der Glaubwürdigkeit der Evangelien?
Well, I think that people often might say, well, there are contradictions between the Gospels people have models, if you like, for an idea of how things could change over time. People like this idea that stories were just repeated again and again and they could change over time. And some people would say, well, Jesus may have taught one thing in Aramaic, but it's been corrupted as it was translated into Greek. There are all these different sorts of objections people have. I haven't tried to answer every single one of those so much as provide a framework which shows that none of those are particularly strong objections.
Wir wollen natürlich nicht die Inhalte deines Vortrags vorwegnehmen, aber vielleicht könntest du für uns schon mal kurz die Kernargumente skizzieren, warum die Evangelien wirklich glaubwürdig sind.
So one of the key things is that the gospel writers, all four gospel writers, know an awful lot about Palestinian Judaism in the first century. And what we can see as we look at their words, and all of them wrote over 10,000 words, so you've got quite a bit of evidence to go for, is you can analyze them and the sorts of things they know about, and they are impressively close spatially to the events, and I think also in time. So I think it's that sort of argument that I'm mounting. That doesn't prove everything that they say is true, but it does mean it's not been made up a long way away, a long time later.
Peter, du bist durch und durch Akademiker. Und so stellt sich dann schon ein bisschen die Frage, ist es wirklich so entscheidend, ob wir jetzt davon überzeugt sind, dass die Evangelien ganz und gar glaubwürdig sind? Welche Rolle spielt das für den ganz normalen tagtäglichen Glauben eines Christen?
Well, I think it does matter. Reality matters, let's say. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic where the reality of a virus matters more than our opinions about the virus. And sometimes if you have a false opinion, that will work for a while, but if it's not based on reality, that's a bad thing. So the fundamental question is Jesus real? Did he really rise from the dead? Is he coming back again to judge the world? These are questions of reality, and it's important not to think that faith is all about a subjective personal conviction, because that's not the way Christians have historically seen Christianity. It's not the way the New Testament sees Christianity. It's not the way the apostles do. And I don't think it's the way that Jesus saw what he was doing. Very much it's about the real world.
Ist also die Frage nach der Glaubwürdigkeit wirklich so zentral für unseren Glauben? Muss man davon überzeugt sein, dass die Evangelien wirklich wahre Berichte sind?
Yes, so I would say, look at the thing that Jesus says when he's asked about the Old Testament and the resurrection. He says, well, look, God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Jesus then uses that as an argument to say, well, you have to believe in a resurrection because Abraham, Isaac and Jacob are still alive in some sense because God is their God. But likewise, that also means you have to believe in historicity. You have to believe that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were real people because God has defined himself as their God. He's named himself, if you like, after them. So if you don't believe in Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, then you don't believe in the God that the Bible talks about.
Peter, herzlichen Dank für diese sehr interessanten Einblicke in dein Leben, in deinen Dienst und vor allem auch in das, was uns erwartet in diesem Vortrag. Diesen Vortrag möchte ich euch sehr anbefehlen. Schaut ihn euch an und lasst euch überzeugen mit guten Argumenten, dass das Wort Gottes und dass vor allem auch die Evangelien wirklich glaubwürdig sind. Herzlichen Dank, Dr.
Thank you.